PBS Kids opens worlds of possibilities for all children, thanks to PBS stations and viewers like you.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading.
Well, let's see. I could make a collage, tie-dye a shirt. Boy, you know, I really don't know what to do. My mother's birthday is coming up, and I promised to make her a present, but the question is, what? Hey, how about a picture of me? Nah, I did that last year. Oh, hey, I could knit her a scarf. But the problem is, the way I knit, it would probably take about a year. Oh, wow. I love working with clay. How about I could sculpt her something? Yeah, how about I make her a sculpture of the house I grew up in? We loved that house when I was a kid. Okay, that's it. Question is now, where to start? Sometimes the hardest part of being creative is getting started. I know what I want to make, but how do I get this clay to look like the picture in my head? That's the same kind of challenge this girl faced when she stared at a blank piece of paper in art class. Her story is called Regina's Big Mistake.
Regina's Big Mistake by Marissa Moss. Read by Anna Holbrook. Everyone in Mrs. Lee's class got a piece of paper. Everyone was supposed to draw a jungle or a rainforest. That meant Regina, too. Regina stared at the big, blank piece of paper in front of her. Her fingers froze on her crayon. Where should she begin? Stuart had already drawn two trees thick with leaves. Natalie was concentrating on a fierce lion. All around Regina, jungles sprouted up, but her paper stayed blank.
What are you making, joked Joshua? An invisible jungle? Ha!
Regina turned red. She hunched over her paper and lightly touched it with the tip of her crayon. She started to draw a jungle flower. She drew one petal, but the second petal was bigger than the first one. Oh, a mistake. She tried to erase the second petal, but crayon doesn't erase, and she tore the paper. She crumpled it up quickly before anyone could see her ugly mistake. What happened to your drawing? Asked Mrs. Lee.
I made a mistake, Regina mumbled.
Well, try to draw around it next time, said Mrs. Lee. You're wasting paper. Regina smoothed her new piece of paper. Anything was possible as long as it was empty. But somehow her hand could never draw what she saw in her head. Stuart's jungle was almost finished now, full of strange, ripe fruits and colorful birds. Natalie's lion stalked an antelope. Regina wanted to cry. She could never draw anything so beautiful.
Almost done? Asked Mrs. Lee. 10 more minutes.
Regina picked up a brown crayon. She had to draw something. Carefully, she started to draw a tree, like Stuart's.
Hey, don't copy me, he growled.
I'm not, said Regina, and she quickly drew three big branches on her tree. But those heavy branches made her tree look funny. Regina bit her lip. Was this another mistake? Could she draw around it, like Mrs. Lee said? She looked again at the jungles growing around her. It's not a mistake. I can fix it. She started to draw a lion under the tree.
Copycat, said Natalie with a sneer. I am not, Regina gulped. My lion is different from yours. And she quickly drew a tongue hanging out of the lion's mouth. My lion's thirsty. He needs water.
So Regina drew a lake, and then a frog, some fish, and a duck to go in the lake, and some flowers alongside it. The jungle grew and grew until it filled the paper. Regina smiled. All her jungle needed now was a sun. She carefully drew a yellow circle, but the crayon wobbled and the circle had a dent in it.
I've ruined it,
she cried,
just when it was getting good.
No more paper, warned Mrs. Lee. You'll just have to make the best of it.
Yeah, joked Joshua. Just pretend it's a very lumpy banana.
Regina looked hard at the wobbly circle. It wasn't a sun, but it wasn't a lumpy banana either.
Suddenly, she recognized what it was. It was a moon.
She drew a face in her moon and surrounded it with stars and comets and a purple-black sky.
Wow, said Stuart.
What a great idea, a jungle at night.
I wish I'd thought of that, said Natalie.
Mrs. Lee tacked all the pictures up on the wall. Good work, Regina, she said, smiling. I love your moon.
The jungles glowed with their bright colors. Each one was different. Each one was beautiful. And even with all her mistakes, Regina thought hers was perfect.
If Regina can turn a mistake into something wonderful, then I can too. All right, here we go. Yeah, we're getting the hang of it now. Clay is one of my favorite materials. Hey, I'm liking that a lot. Every artist has to find the material that's right for their work. It might be clay, it might be paint, or it might be something you never dreamed could be used to create a masterpiece. You see all these odds and ends? Someone else might have junked them a long time ago, but not Michael Ives. He saves objects and turns them into works of art. Around in his backyard until something, like this old dresser drawer, strikes his fancy. Then he lets his imagination soar. Today, he's gonna make a story box.
A story box is just an imaginary scene where I can create any world that I want to, anything I want. I think I'm gonna do a cowboy scene of some kind. How about a rodeo one? Yeah, maybe with a bucking bronco. That's what I'll do with this one. Once I decide on what to do, I have to prepare the box. First, I gesso the box. Gesso is just a white paint that I put on the inside, and it helps the colors really stand out and hop. To make this box, I'm gonna need a few different layers. I can find them all right here in my junk pile. When I was a kid, I hung out at my grandfather's a lot, and I learned to be a real good scrounger, making something out of nothing, making it out of a pile of junk or pile of wood in the corner became a real treat to be able to do. Now I've got to sketch the scenes out on these different layers. Next, I cut the layers out with my jigsaw. This is where the pieces really start to take on some life. When I'm laying color down, especially big, large areas of color, it's fantastic. It's the greatest feeling. You can feel the brush underneath you. It's nice and creamy, smooth. Your hand feeling is going right along with what you're seeing. And it's just magic. Colors for me are truly joyful and exciting. Using colors is real instinctual. It's a gut feeling rather than something learned in school. The next layer is the mesas and the cactus, and what I want to do is reflect the setting sun on them. I'll do this with an orange and a pink. The next layer is the grandstands and the cactus in back of them. These grandstands, I really want to be a nice, happy place, and there are going to be a lot of real festive flags hanging over the front. Sometimes I get great ideas from stuff that's just lying around here every day. Like this can. Buttons, plenty of buttons. Maybe that's great for the faces in the grandstands. This next layer is the cowboy and the bucking bronco. This guy's really having a good time. That'd be a great idea to make these move up and down. That's what I'll do. Fantastic for me. Making something out of odds and ends and junk around the yard brings a kid out of me. I love it.
When Michael Ives sees ordinary objects, he imagines turning them into great works of art. And the same thing happens to Ellie MacKay whenever she sees a nice, long piece of wire.
My name is Eleanor MacKay, and I make sculptures out of wire. I never, ever thought that I would be making wire sculptures. I just picked up a piece of wire and started bending it. I use very simple tools, wire cutters and needle nose pliers, and my hands. It's like drawing in space. The nature of wire is like a spring. It's kind of an ornery medium. I sometimes feel like I'm really wrestling with it, turning it and bending it and crimping it and having to crimp it really hard. and I have to tame the wire, and it controls me. There becomes a relationship between me and the wire. This piece I'm starting is going to be an armadillo, and it's going to be three-dimensional. I like to use one piece of wire when I make my sculptures. I have to bend it and tie it and make knots in it, and while I'm doing that, it turns the wire all around and all upside down and all backwards, and I think that there's no way this is going to come out and look like what I want it to look like, and then I just keep on going and I keep making it, and somehow it does. It just comes out. When I'm done with bending and twisting and shaping them, they're still just plain steel, gray, and I think that they need more color, so I like to paint them. The colors are very bright, very rich. They make the sculpture stand out more. They become alive and fun. Bending and wrestling with a wire, when I'm finally done, I'm always very happy with it, whether it's a rooster or an armadillo or a person or even just a leaf.
And the garage. Some artists, like Ellie MacKay, just keep going even when they're not sure how things will turn out, while other artists prefer to leave very little to chance. Oops. The garage actually goes on this side. These artists carefully follow a plan and even choose a place to work that's just right for their art.
I like chalk. I like it because I like to work with my fingers. I like to mix the colors. I like the feeling of the chalk. It's powdery, it's dry. I just love it.
Hani is an artist who likes chalk so much that he uses it to draw magnificent pictures on the sidewalks of New York City. His drawings last up to 3 weeks, and they give Hani and many others much pleasure.
I love art. I think I can communicate better. I can explain myself better with paintings, with drawings, better than words. When I want to draw on the sidewalk, I look for a clean sidewalk without broken glass in it, without so much dirt. But the important thing that I'll have a rough sidewalk where I can mix the colors. Because if it's totally smooth, the color won't stick on the sidewalk. Well, usually when I want to make a painting, I start thinking about what I want to do. Then I sketch it out on a piece of paper, and I use it after that to make my painting. When I start drawing, I usually start with the outlines. I use a black piece of chalk or pastel, and I do the outlines, and after that, I start filling in the colors. I really like to use my fingers when I draw. I just like the feeling of the chalk and my finger. It feels good. And I feel like I have more control because with my fingers, it's not like I'm holding a brush or knife or something to work with, or hammer or something. It's my fingers, so I know when to stab, when I can control my hands better, and I can achieve better results. Sometimes when I paint on the sidewalk, I wonder what people who stop by think about when they look at my painting. But usually, the response is very positive. My painting, I feel so good, so happy, that makes me like want to dance and jump and see, look everybody, I finished this painting. I feel so proud of myself because I feel like I proved that I'm an artist. This is the living proof, this is the painting. Look, see my painting.
Bad, huh? I think my house is really shaping up. The clay is nice and dry, and all I need now are a few finishing touches. This is one of the best moments for an artist, when your vision, the idea you have in your head, finally becomes a reality. So, if you've got the heart to go create art, then here are a few books that will get you off to a good start. But you don't have to take my word for it.
Do you like books about painting? I'm Grace, and I have a book you might enjoy. It's called The Little Painter of Sabana Grande. Fernando is a boy who wants to paint, but he lives in a very small village, and there are no paint stores there. So, Fernando makes his own paints from things in nature. But he has a big problem. He has no paper. Fernando has a great idea. He sees that the wall of his house is smooth and white. Fernando covers his house with beautiful designs. After that, everyone starts telling Fernando, "Paint my house." Soon, the whole village looks beautiful. To see it for yourself, read this book.
Hi, my name is Naren, and I'd like to talk to you about an entertaining book called The Art Lesson. A little boy named Tommy has a lifelong dream to be an artist. He was constantly drawing pictures. He drew pictures for his friends and his family. His mom put them all around the house. His dad took him to the barbershop. Tommy was excited about kindergarten. He couldn't wait for art class. But painting there wasn't as much fun as he thought. Look at that face. He doesn't look too happy, does he? There is a good ending to this story, but I'm not telling what it is. Read the art lesson for yourself.
Hi, I'm Susanna. Do you know what it takes to become an artist? Well, get ready to find out. In this book, I'm an artist. This is a simple book with beautiful illustrations. Each page points out how you can be an artist. Being an artist can be the way you look at things. Look at this picture. What do you see? I see the beautiful colors in a seashell. I am an artist when I find the face in the clouds, or when I watch sunlight turn dust to glitter. I am an artist when I look at the world around me, and you can be an artist too. All you have to do is open your eyes and read this book.
Well, here's my house. What do you think? Personally, I love what I made. And you know what? I think my mom's gonna like it too. I had a tough time getting started and I was afraid of making mistakes, but I just kept going and I think my house turned out pretty cool. I'll bet my mom will be as proud of me as I am. I'll see you next time. Today's Reading Rainbow Books are Regina's Big Mistake by Marissa Moss, published by Houghton Mifflin Company. I Am an Artist by Pat Lowry Collins, illustrated by Robin Brickman, published by the Millbrook Press. The Little Painter of Sabana Grande by Patricia Maloney Markin, illustrated by Robert Casilla, published by Simon & Schuster Books for Young Readers. The Art Lesson by Tommy DePaola, published by G.P. Putnam Sons, a division of the Putnam and Grosset Group.